Over the past 4 years, the Scott Pilgrim series of digest-sized comic books have earned a cult following for their blend of comedy, romance, and absurd video game-style action. The books follow the adventures of Scott Pilgrim, a charismatic slacker from Toronto who falls in love with a girl named Ramona Flowers and discovers that he must fight and defeat all seven of her evil ex-boyfriends in order to stay with her. The series creator Brian Lee O'Malley is here with us tonight. Brian Lee O'Malley, welcome to Fair Game.
Thanks, Faith.
Do you know how many exclamation points are in your latest volume, Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together? Because we counted.
Really? I have no idea. Probably in the hundreds.
Yeah. You can do it. Make a little more of a guess.
Okay. 174.
Oh, no, sir. You have more personality than that. 359.
You're kidding. Wow.
That's pretty cool, right?
That's crazy. Yeah, I kind of did notice that I was overdoing it a little. I was trying to tone it down a bit in the new one, but we'll see.
All right, now help us get a sense of Scott Pilgrim and who he is. How would you describe him?
Oh, God. He's 23 years old. He's Canadian. And, you know, he always gets the slacker tag. But I never liked that word. I think he's just a guy. He's kind of too lazy to be anything other than just a guy.
Why don't you like the word slacker?
It gives me like a early 90s feeling or something.
Very Reality Bites.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you seem to be writing about young people in a way that's funny and sympathetic, but it's pretty cognizant of a lot of the foibles that 20-somethings go through, you know, arrested adolescence and job hunting and relationship woes. Was that something you set out to address in your comics?
I think when I started out, I really was in my early 20s, and now I just turned 29. So as it's gone on, it's been sort of more and more looking back. Like each year that I do a new one, it's like I'm looking back a little bit further, getting a little bit more perspective. So I think I was more in it at the very beginning, and now I kind of like look back and think, oh, we were so silly.
I think about the identification factor for readers, like Scott has this great gay, sassy gay roommate named Wallace Wells. And when people read these, I think they see people that they know in them. Was that a goal of yours?
I think so. I mean, I wrote it really, it was about me and my friends when I was starting out. I mean, I had this sort of sassy gay roommate and I think, yeah, a lot of the people who read it sort of, they really identify with the characters, or they wish they could hang out with the characters. And that was definitely sort of part of my intent.
What's happened when friends have seen themselves in your books?
I think they've generally liked it. I mean, my friend Chris, who is the inspiration for Wallace, he always tells everyone that he's Wallace. And, you know, that's always nice.
Does your friend Chris not wear pants and walk around in his underwear a lot?
Yeah.
And I understand when Scott meets and falls in love with an American girl, that's a page taken from your life, right?
That's true, yeah. When I was, I guess, 23, I met an American girl named Hope Larson, and we're married. We've been married for 4 years.
Now, you were the first to admit that Scott is lazy, and I called him a slacker. That can make him a frustrating hero, because he can be insensitive, he's kind of an airhead, and the other characters get exasperated by him, too. So why do you think he gets the girls?
I have no idea. Wishful thinking, wishful projection. You know, I mean, I never really had that much luck with the ladies or whatever. But he's you know, I guess in some ways he's a little bit of an aspirational character, but he's also supposed to be sort of a, you know, doofus that you chide and wish that he would grow up.
Do you ever want to give the other characters a kick in the pants to get them all to do better?
The other characters, other than Scott?
Yeah, a lot of them are broke and have lousy jobs and don't seem particularly motivated.
Uh-huh, yeah. I mean, yeah, because when I was that age, you know, I was like that to some degree, although, you know, I at least had the ambition to write a graphic novel. But, yeah, as I've gotten older, you know, you see those characters in a different way, and you kind of wish they would grow up. But, you know,
are we gonna
one day
see them?
They will.
Yeah, are we going to see them in their 30s having kids and doing fertility treatments and stuff?
I don't think so. No, I think it's pretty much just, you know, I have two more books to go, so it's really just going to cover the scope of about a year or two.
Now, there's a lot of video game references in every volume, and the basic idea of the series that Scott must defeat all these levels of villains and ex-boyfriends is a video game concept. So how much does gaming influence your work?
I usually say it's more like sort of the nostalgia for gaming when I was a kid, like all the old Nintendo, like 8-bit sort of that world, you know, stuff that I played when I was in middle school. And I don't really do as much gaming these days, but I think that nostalgic thing kind of hits a nerve with a lot of readers.
You get a lot of comedy out of conflating the weird logic of video games with the mundane aspects of life. How did you arrive at that?
I guess I had this thing where I would not remember whether I saw something in a video game or if I saw it in real life, kind of thing.
Oh,
I mean, not to the degree, you know, I took that and I ran with it. So, you know, I'm not insane, but that was sort of one of the original concepts, was just like, did that really happen? Or was that like, did that happen in a game? Or was that a dream? So I wanted to sort of mix those levels of reality. But using, you know, these old Nintendo games where they had just perverse logic to begin with. So, you know, putting that with reality just creates this crazy universe.
Is that a generational thing, do you think, where video games become a reference point for everything, including romantic relationships? Because I don't think people in their 30s think of video games as a device to understand life.
It's true, yeah. If you're kind of over, you know, 35, you probably didn't play these games at the right time in your life, and they're not part of sort of your cultural fabric. Like, I've seen people say that this is kind of like, you know, the mythology of my generation and that kind of thing, which, you know, I guess I just tapped into that inadvertently.
In recent years, comic books have gone down a darker path. You know, the superhero stuff is really grim, and most mm-hmm. of the alternative and underground artists are confronting very serious issues. And you seem to be going in the other direction. How come?
I have no idea. I just really, I did a book before Scott Pilgrim called Lost at Sea that was a little, you know, it was dark and introspective and, you know, very dreary, and people were like, cheer up, emo kid. But my friends read that and they were like, whatever. So, you know, I wanted to make something to entertain people, to make them, you know, like me or smile or whatever, which is, you know, I guess it's working out okay so far.
Aside from the video games and manga, music is a pretty big part of the comics. And I understand you named Scott after a tune by one of your favorite bands. Did the character come from hearing the song?
Yeah, I mean, it was this band called Plumtree. They're from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I mean, they broke up like 8 years ago. But they were like my favorite band in high school. They're this all-girl band who they started when they were like 15. So the song just has like two lines. It's like, I've liked you for 1,000 years. I can't even remember the second line right now.
Well, but guess what? We have a bit of the song. So let's listen.
Sure.
There you go.
That's great.
Does Plumtree know that this came out of
the
song?
Yeah, they do, actually. Yeah. I was a big, you know, of course, I was a huge fan of theirs. I actually did website design for their record label, like, in 2000. Like, I was just, like, you know, this crazy little teenage fan. But, yeah, they're pretty happy about it. But, yeah, the song is just, it's, like, two lines, and it's kind of like this middle school nursery rhyme sort of thing. And I just wanted to think for myself, like, who did you like for 1,000 years, you know, and this sort of, like, it's just ridiculous, and I thought it was fun.
It came out the other day that Michael Cera from Superbad and Juno is interested in playing Scott in the movie adaptation. What advice would you give to him to capture Scott on the big screen?
I don't know. I think he's got the right attitude, and he's actually from the Toronto area, which is cool. But I don't know too much about what's going on, actually.
You don't know about what's going on with the movie? You leave that to your people?
I know to some degree. I'm not sure. Like, I had heard about Michael Cera for a while, and then all of a sudden, last night, I was just like, oh, apparently Michael Cera is in the movie, which is great. And I'm a big fan of his.
Finally, I understand that you, both you and your wife, Hope Larson, are cartoonists. So do you guys draw each other naked?
No, actually, we don't.
Just a thought, dude, when you get to the 7-year itch.
Maybe.
Whip out the pencils. Just a thought.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us, Brian.
Thanks, Faith.
Brian Lee O'Malley is the creator of the Scott Pilgrim comics. The latest volume, Scott Pilgrim Gets It Together, with 359 exclamation points, is in stores now.